Since your sin has been paid for, why do you keep taking it down from the cross? Why do you keep going back to it, that lifestyle, that thing, that guilt, that shame, whatever it is, and you keep taking it down? No, I still need to hang on to that. Happy Good Friday, everybody. This is our very first Friday, or Good Friday service ever. And I'm pretty proud of us for doing this. If you're our guest, my name's Zach. I'm the pastor here. It's nice to have you on our very first Good Friday service. What makes a good day a good day? Can you answer that? Can anybody think of that? What makes a good day a good day? Maybe, I don't know, you called in sick from work, but you weren't really sick. I know who you are, and so does God. You decided to go to the beach because you were so sick. And then you go to, you know, maybe get some ice cream or some frozen yogurt. You get a little sunburn. You tell your boss the next day you were stung by a bee. I don't know. What makes a good day a good day? For you, what's like the best day ever for you? Why do we call it Good Friday? Just so you know, while I'm preaching, it's not call and response time. Just let you know. This is my time. Just FYI. You could say amen, hallelujah, but they're mostly rhetorical, my questions. Some of you might be new, but that's how it works up here, okay? I have to do this for a couple of my staff. They're asking me, please, could you just, I'm glad you guys are here. I did it one time. Today is called Good Friday. It's not actually the day Jesus was crucified. It's the day we celebrated that he went to the cross. But why would such a bad day for Jesus become a good day to us? Why would such a day of horrific torture and abuse, the taking of someone's life, be called a good day? It seems crazy to think about it if you really kind of grasp its meaning and think, man, when is a bad day a good day? When does it turn into a good day? You ever had a bad day? Who here's had a bad day? By all accounts, this should be the worst day. This should be the day we actually are mournful and sorrowful. It was the worst day for Jesus, but as it turns out, it's really the best day for us. And we're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to learn this one thing today as we kind of finish up. If you've been part of Fusion Christian Church in the past few weeks, we've been on this series called The Last Words, and we've been discussing the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. He said seven things from the cross. All of them had meaning. All of them were important. All of them have deep things that God wants to teach us. We're going to look at the last two tonight, and we're going to learn this one thing: when a bad day turns into a good day. When a bad day turns into good. How many love it when your bad day turns into a good day? Yes. Me too. One day I was driving down the road past Temecula Valley High School. I was having a bad day. And I look over and flapping through the wind was a $5 bill. And I did an illegal U-turn. And I had a good day. Today we're going to talk about that. When does a bad day turn into a good day? And we're going to look at these last two sayings of Jesus. Let me give you a little context of what's going on here, just in case you haven't read the Bible story. Jesus has been betrayed. He's been handed over to the Romans to be crucified. He's been spit on. He's been slapped. He's been punched. His beard was pulled out. He's been stripped naked. He's been beat. He's been whipped to the point of his flesh being torn from his body. A crown of thorns was placed on his head, and the blood was dripping down his eyes, making it hard for him to breathe. His blood is just profusely pouring over him. He was then made to carry a cross up to Golgotha, the place of the skull, where he was nailed to it, hands and feet, in the most sensitive places of his hands and feet. He was there nailed to the cross, and he was hung there until he died. And as he was waiting to die, he said some powerful things for us to learn, especially tonight on this Good Friday. Let's look at the first part of the story in John chapter 19. It says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. We talked about that Sunday. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. Can we all say that out loud together? It is finished. And Jesus utters these last words, and he says, it is finished. And what do we learn that? We ask this question today, when does a bad day turn into a good day? And the answer number one tonight is this, when your debt is paid and your record is wiped clean. That's when a bad day turns into a good day. When your debt is paid and your record is wiped clean. Who here has ever been in debt? You're Americans, that's all of you. Okay, one thing we know here is how to rack it up, baby. I believe in Jesus, MasterCard, and American Express, right? Now, maybe you have a lot of debt, and sometimes debt can be very oppressive, can it? It's like, how am I going to pay this? I can only make the minimum payments. Then the interest keeps accruing. And then next thing you know, you're 32 years at 22% interest. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get out of this. If that's you tonight, don't worry. We have FPU coming up. And just, if you don't know, Financial Peace University is coming up. So you might see what I did there. It's a nice segue to small groups. That's why I'm the pastor. And that's actually coming up in a couple weeks if you actually have that problem. But debt is a massive mountain sometimes. And we're like, how am I going to pay this? Especially when interest keeps accruing and you still have other expenses and you have that time like, man, I'm so beat up at work. It's okay. Let's just put it on the credit card. And next thing you know, Christian chicken and you're, another $10,000 in debt. Chick-fil-A, by the way. And debt can be massively oppressive. Now I want you to imagine just for a minute that all that debt you've ever accrued in your whole life, all that financial debt, is your sin. And that pile is sitting out on your front yard, and every day you got to walk out and look at it. And it's every single thing you have ever done in your life that violates God's command. It's called sin. Every lie you've ever told, every friend you've ever gossiped about, every immoral act or thought, every greed action or intent that you had, every time you disobeyed your parents, boy, that mountain's high. And all of that represents everything you did to violate God's law, and you think to yourself, how in the world am I going to pay for this? How is it possible to pay for this? I feel like every time I do a good thing, it's not enough to make up for the bad thing because you're only making the minimum payment and you're never going to pay off the interest. How am I going to do this? How am I going to achieve this place, this relationship with God that I need to achieve by trying to eliminate the debt on my own? The good news is that Jesus didn't just forgive your debt. He paid for it in full. And that's why today is called Good Friday, because he paid for it in full. That's what it means to say it is finished. In that word in the Greek, it literally means paid for in full. Yeah. Debt is paid. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, it says, you were dead because of your sins. That's all of us. The wages of sin is death. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then, here's the good news, God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Isn't that amazing? That means when you come to Jesus and you walk out on the front yard and you see all those, where the sin used to be, and you have now green grass. Sorry, we're in California. Now you have desertscape. And now your debt is gone and it's paid for, and you're like, man, thank you, Jesus, because there's no way I would have been able to pay that debt on my own. There's just no way. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. And so it goes, he canceled the record of the charges against us. Everybody say canceled.
Canceled.
That means it's done. Canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Why are the nails that went in Jesus' hands and feet so good to us? Because it represents our sin being nailed to the cross. to be paid for in full. That's why today, a bad day turned into a good day for us. Jesus finished the payment. And let me just tell you something. When Jesus finishes the payment, it's finished. That's why he said, "It is finished. I've made the sacrifice. I've paid the debt. The righteous for the unrighteous." He was, even though the Bible says he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus never became a sinful person, but because he was righteous and laid himself down on the cross, no one took his life, he laid it down willingly. And because of that, God is the great substitution. God treated him as if he had committed every sin ever committed in the entire world and treated me as if I had never committed one. It is finished. It's finished. That's a good day. You ever have a friend or a significant other or a spouse remind you of the thing you did wrong? I know none of you have done that, but you've had people do that to you. The Bible says that God takes our sin, he removes it from us because of Jesus, as far as the east is from the west, never to be counted against us anymore. So here's my question to you tonight. Since sin has been paid for, give me your full attention, this is a really important question. Since your sin has been paid for, why do you keep taking it down from the cross? Why do you keep going back to that lifestyle, that thing, that guilt, that shame, whatever it is, and you keep taking it down? No, I still need to hang on to that. The Bible also says that God takes our sin, he removes it from us, and he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. Our problem is we row our little canoe out there and we fish it back up. I remember I did that. Why do you keep taking the things off the cross that Jesus nailed there? That's a powerful question. That's a meaningful question. Since it's been nailed there, it should be left there. What did Jesus nail to the cross that you keep taking down? Is it unforgiveness? Is it hate? Is it immorality? Is it anger? Is it greed? Is it selfishness? Is it lust? What is it? You keep taking it down as if it should be part of your life, but Jesus paid for it, so it no longer should be. In a few minutes, we're going to have a special time at Fusion Christian Church that we've never done before. We're going to have a time where you're going to actually take this little paper. It should be sitting on your seat, and it says, "I'm finished." It says, "I'm finished with," and it says, Colossians 2:14, it says, "He took it away, nailing it to the cross." And in a few minutes, not right now, but in a few minutes, I'm going to give you time to do this. And I'm going to give you time as we worship. You're going to write down what you should be finished with. And I'm going to invite you to come up to one of the crosses. There's two in the front and there's one in the back. And there's little pins there. And you can just nail it right to the cross, say, "God." And this should be a symbolic time of what your heart really means. Say, "Jesus, I'm finished with this. You nailed it to the cross, and I don't want it to be part of my life anymore." Some of you are dealing with the pain of abuse, of betrayal, of abandonment. It's time to nail it to the cross. Some of you are dealing with anger and hate. It's time to nail it to the cross. Some of you are dealing with the fact that you have just messed up so much, you think to yourself, "There's no way God can forgive you." It's time to nail it to the cross. Some of you have been so greedy and so selfish that you can't even get past yourself. There's a reason why you're here tonight, so you can nail it to the cross. Why? Because Jesus finished with it by nailing it to the cross. It is finished. And that needs to be part of your life. Let's look at the next saying that Jesus said right before he died in Luke chapter 23. This is the last of his sayings. It says, "Now it was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining." Some miraculous event here happened while Jesus was dying. And it says, "And the curtain in the temple was torn in two." Very significant event. I'll explain that in a minute. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When does a bad day turn into a good day? Well, when your debt is paid and your record is wiped clean, and when your spirit is safe in the Father's hands. When your spirit is safe in the Father's hands. Who here likes babies? Look at the person not raising their hands. They probably work at Fusion Kids. Gotcha. Now just imagine for a minute. Just give me a minute. Imagine you had a baby. And you got some errands you need to run. You got some stuff you need to do. So you find some guy living under the bridge. And you say, hey, can you hold my baby? It's precious to me, but you look like a responsible guy down here under the bridge in your tent. Why don't you hold my baby? I'll be back in a few hours. Maybe tomorrow. I'm not sure. Depends on how long the meeting goes or how bad traffic on the 91 is. But I'll be back. So you go about your stuff and you go about your business and you come back and guess what? There's no baby. And for some reason, you're shocked. And you think to yourself, just maybe I should have entrusted to my baby to someone a little bit more trustworthy and responsible. You think? Just maybe I should have, you know, at least found somebody on Craigslist instead of the guy under the bridge. Poor decision. It's ridiculous to think that way, isn't it? I mean, who would actually really do that in real life? It's an absurd story. It's an absurd analogy. No one would ever possibly do that. So why is it that we trust our spirit to people and things that leave it unsafe? Your spirit is the most precious thing that you have. Because it will last for eternity. And we entrust it to things of this world and to people and relationships we shouldn't have and to situations and circumstances we shouldn't be in and to goals and visions we should never be visioning, and we entrust our spirit to these things and it's not safe. This is why Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," because in the Father's hands was the only place his spirit would be safe. It is the safest place for your spirit to be in the hands of the Father. A bad day turns into a good day when you know your spirit is safe in the Father's hands. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, it says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners. Why? To bring you safely home to God so that your spirit would be safe in the Father's hands. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Have you prayed that? Not that any of you are about to die. This is not a deathbed saying. This is a life saying. This is a, God, I want you to take control of my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And I want it to be safe in your hands because it is the safest place for me to be. That's a good day. That's a good day. The Bible says in Psalms, it says, I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. If you want your spirit to be in a faithful place, give it to the Father. Yeah. Give it to the Father. The one who made your spirit in the first place. That's a good day when we put it into his hands. To commit our spirit to him is a commitment to give our life to him. Our problem is sometimes we have a divided heart and we want to serve God and we want to serve the world. Basically, we want to serve ourselves sometimes. Anybody ever have that problem? Guilty. Want to serve God and serve, I want to do my own thing and serve God and do my own thing. And the problem is that we have a divided heart. And when we have a divided heart, we have a divided spirit. And that's why we need to say, okay, God, I need to surrender my whole spirit to you because I could get myself into a bad day real fast when I start following my own agenda. Yeah. But when I surrender to the Father, I know my spirit's safe. The Bible says in Psalms 86, says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart. An undivided heart that I may fear your name. Everyone say undivided. Undivided. An undivided heart. Yeah. Is your spirit entrust it to the Father? Have you come to this place where you're just like, okay, God, I want to surrender my spirit? When I say spirit, we're surrendering our whole life to Him. We're surrendering our whole being to Him. What is it in your life that you keep taking down from the cross? He said it's finished because He nailed it there. He was nailed on the cross for your sin. So how ridiculous is it to think that we would just go take it back off again? No, I kind of like doing this. I kind of want this. And then we can't figure out why our life is so miserable and why we're so unhappy and why we don't have peace. Because you keep playing with the sin that Jesus was nailed for. And you surrender your spirit to the things of the world instead of the things of the kingdom, instead of the Father. A bad day turns into a good day when your record is wiped clean and your debt is paid and your spirit is surrendered to the Father. That's why today's called Good Friday. Because none of this could have been achieved on our own. Only through Jesus Christ. Only through His sacrifice. Only through His victory. Can we overcome the things that try to take over our life, try to conquer our spirit? This is a deeply spiritual moment. Because the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against people. That's what that means. What we really wrestle against is the principalities and powers and rulers of this present age, against an enemy. Let's just simplify it. Against an enemy, and he's called the devil, and he wants nothing better than for you to take all those things down off the cross that Jesus paid for. He would like nothing better than for you to surrender your spirit to the things of this world instead of to the Father. He would like nothing better than for you to have a bad day for eternity. But Jesus came to have victory over all of that. And He gives you the victory when you put your faith in Him.